We don't think about it. We don't, you know, when you're alone, it really is easier here in that corporate anointing. But we have got to train ourselves to praise God in our houses by ourselves. You know, a devil can't stay in your house when you're praising Jesus. You know, they don't like it. They don't like it. You create an atmosphere that they hate. And that's good. Amen. Hate is good when it comes from the devil, because the devil's hate can't touch us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. That was awesome, you guys. Praise God. Well, I think before I minister tonight, we're going to do communion. Amen. So you guys go ahead and start handing that out. Somebody flip these lights on over top of me. I got to be able to see. I'll take everything I can get. There you go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just wanted to say, as communion is being handed out, that, thank you, sir. I wanted to give everybody an opportunity just to receive Jesus right now. If you've never done that before, it's just a good thing that you do that before you take communion. Amen. So just pray this prayer with me. Father God, we thank you that you sent your son Jesus. We ask you to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into our hearts. Be our Lord and our Savior. We receive you as Lord and Savior. We believe that you died on the cross and you rose from the dead. And we call you Lord Jesus now. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Let me get my stuff ready. All right. Don't say you're going to spill it. Then you will. In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, 23rd verse, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Lord, we thank you for it. Go ahead and take the bread. Hallelujah. You got to stay thankful, because that thing doesn't taste like bread. In the same way, he took the cup also, after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise Jesus. Now, I hope you know that the Bible says you can get healed just taking communion. So you should receive that now. If you need healing, just put your hand on that place. If there's pain, if there's a spot that you need taken care of, and that'll be your action of faith. And if the Lord lets me, that's what I'm going to preach about tonight. Faith has action. So you act on the Word of God. You put your hand wherever you need it to be. And know this, that 1 Peter 2:24 said that by His stripes you were healed. And if you were healed, that means you are healed now. Amen? And it doesn't matter how many times that something didn't work when you prayed before. This time's different. You're in faith now. Forget about your past. Don't let the devil sit on your shoulder and tell you why you can't have it. You say now, I'm healed. I have it now. Amen. Glory to God. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Well, that's appropriate because what I'm going to talk about, teach about a little bit is, I guess I named it, Do Some Faith. Amen. Now, it's not really considered ripping off, but I kind of stole this from a TV preacher, and I won't tell you who it is because you might have a problem with him and then not listen. Let me just say to you, this is all in the Word, and it doesn't matter who I stole it from. And Jesus is okay that I took it from him because I'm sharing the Word. It's a very important word. And I was sitting watching this in the morning at my house. I had done little devotions and stuff. And I was thinking, man, I gotta find this. I've got to write this down. I've got to put this in sermon form. And then that afternoon, Pastor Peggy called me and said, you want to preach? Or she texted me. And I was working and didn't get the text at 11 o'clock in the morning when it was sent and didn't answer her until 4. So I answered her and said, is it too late? Can I still do it? And I knew right then, man, as soon as I saw that text, I knew this is what I was preaching. And thank God for the internet. I pulled that TV preacher back up and listened to it about 6 or 7 times. Got all the scriptures and preached it to myself. And hey, there ain't nothing wrong. When you're speaking the Word, you take it. I mean, everything you say, you got from somebody anyways. Let's just face it, okay? And I'll be like Melania Trump. Never mind, you might not know. My daughter's going, Pastor Peggy, when she texted me, said, no politics. So I just wanted to throw that word Trump out there just to scare her. But I'm done. I'm done. All right. Glory to God. Let's go to Galatians 5. I hope you have your Bible. That Bible is your lifeline. You should be in it every single day. At least quoting it every single day, but it is very important for you to put your eyes on the Word and download it. You know, everybody understands that nowadays. You have to download. And downloads, I believe, don't happen completely unless you're downloading through your eyes and with your mouth. Hearing yourself say things and looking at the Word of God. We have faith in this book, you know? There could be 1,000 books out there that somebody wrote, and it'd just be some dude, some gal, and you just aren't going to have trust and faith in that like you do this Word of God. Amen? We know, not all people, but we know, this is a supernatural book written by holy men of God, moved on by the Holy Ghost. 66 books, 40 authors. And if you don't think it's a miracle how well these books flow together, just take a look at when all these dudes lived. Some of them lived, what, 400 years apart? And there's a bloodline through this book, the blood of Jesus. And it starts in Genesis. And men are extremely limited. So as you know, this is a miracle. The Bible is a miracle, and I think it's very obvious. Amen? Galatians 5, verse 4. We're going to be talking about works. Do some faith. Faith has to be acted on. Amen? And this is a rough subject, because what we're going to look at tonight is a lot of people's downfall. A lot of people are praying and not getting what they're praying or saying or believing because of some of the things we're going to talk about. And I just thought that the Lord wants to bring some clarity here. So starting in verse 4, you have been severed or separated from Christ. You who were seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. Amen. And what he's saying there is you know, we've heard that falling from grace, and we attach that to a preacher that had an affair or this, that, and the other. And we think we understand what falling from grace is, but this verse right here literally defines what falling from grace means. Falling from grace means you trusting in your performance. This scripture, I'm just going to read it again. You have been severed or separated from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Seeking to be justified by the law. The law is huge. You know, there are 613 commandments. Amen. If you've ever seen one of those prayer shawls, it would do you good to study about them. They have these little knots and tassels hanging down off of them. And if you count up the tassels and the knots and put them all together and add it all up, there's like a certain number of knots, certain number of tassels, blah, 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 and it adds up to 613. That thing represents the law. When you see the Jewish guys at the Wailing Wall wearing that cool-looking prayer shawl, I think it's really not cool-looking. There's a lot of meaning in Hebrew stuff, and I suggest that you get into that, because it's pretty cool information to learn about all that Hebrew stuff, and it all connects to us as Christians, has meaning to us, because in the old, the new is contained, and in the new, the old is explained. Does that make sense? And that Old Testament, we live out of the New Testament, and it is a new and better covenant, but we still need to know that stuff. It helps us. So anyways, performance, you trusting your own performance is falling from grace. And that's putting a lot of emphasis on that, is it not? Falling from grace sounds pretty serious to me. Amen. Grace is the power and the ability of God. You know, it is the unmerited favor of God, also is another definition. But let's look at verse 8 real quick. I want to show you something. It says, this, it's talking about the very same thing we were just talking about. You trusting in your own performance. Amen. It says, this persuasion did not come from him who calls you. Amen. So that means this misconception didn't come from God. We have a tendency toward this. We fall into works. We, in general, love recognition. We love to do something and be praised for it. We love to do something and get something. And life does work that way in many ways, but we're going to try to separate tonight how this really works, because, you know, belief is a heart thing. Believing is a heart thing. Everything with God is a heart thing. He wants your heart. And unfortunately, most of us, many of us, and I'm not talking to anyone in particular, I'll look at the lights. We were raised by people who taught us that performance is everything. Or we just developed into that because we were good at something. And you know, that's how we are. We find what we're good at, we jump on that, and we get a lot of satisfaction out of doing what we're good at. And that is a good thing. But it's not good if you forget that God gave you that gift. He gave us everything. We can't do anything, nothing without Him. Literally. I don't know if you know Keith Moore, but I heard him talk about one time he was praying about this, and he asked God to show him to what degree this was true. And he literally became useless for 3 days. This guy can do everything. He can sing. He can preach. He's a kickboxer. He's, you know, he can do everything. He races boats and does this and does that. You know, he's just one of those guys like Ben. You know what I mean? Ben can do everything. And he's almost as good looking as me. There was, I didn't believe that when I said it, and you all could tell. So, Brother Keith asked the Lord to show him what degree to how that, how this really works. Amen. And he could barely talk. He couldn't put sentences together. He felt sick. He couldn't teach healing school. He couldn't do his job for 3 days. He tried to get on a piano and play. Couldn't do that. I mean, he got so upset. He got scared that it wasn't going to, that was it. He was just going to stay that way. I mean, he got very alarmed. And then 3 days later, all of his gifts came back. Can you imagine what his perspective was about his giftings after that? You get clarity on whether you deserve the praise or not after something like that. Amen. You know, it is good. It's good to encourage people. It's good to tell people you're good at that. You look good today. Your shirt's nice. Whatever, you know, encouragement is godly. But you have to know inside your heart that every gift you have, and you all have them, whether you know it or not, you all have gifts that God gave you, and some of you haven't discovered them yet. I know I haven't discovered all of mine, but everything He gave us is all from Him, and we would be nothing without Him. Amen. So many have failed to see. Many fail to see this also. When we're talking about works, now we're going to start getting into this work stuff. There are two types of works. Amen? Works of the law and works of faith. Amen? If you don't understand the difference, you will just do whatever. Have you ever met somebody who just flies by the seat of their pants and they're guessing all day long? And if you ask them about anything, they'll talk as if they know about it while they don't. Amen? And sometimes it can be very irritating. Somebody popped into all of your heads. I could see it happen. Some of you went. But, this shows you why it's so important to be in the Word, to put it first place in your life. If we're not applying this to our lives, we're not hitting the mark. We're praying and wasting time. We're praying in presumption. We're saying, I believe and I'm in faith, and you no more believe than nothing. You're trying to impress somebody by saying it. I believe. I'm in faith. And that comes from that thing I was just talking about that many of us receive from our parents or through our life of our works and the things that we do. We become works-oriented. Amen? And a lot of people want to work. That's why every religion besides Christianity is they literally have to work their way to heaven. They got to talk to a certain number of people. They got to do this to get their 70-something virgins. They got to this, that, the other, whatever. It's all works all day. Christianity is the only one that he said, this is a free gift. Here it is. All you got to do is know about it. All you got to do is have the guts to get in here and find out how it works, how I think, and you can just have it. Amen? Grace is free. Salvation is free because of Jesus. Amen? So, we're going to look at the most dangerous, one of the most dangerous chapters in the Bible, James 2. Go to James 2 and 14. And you'll see why I say this. James 2 and 14. It says, what use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he has no works, can that faith save him? The answer is no. Believe it or not. It is faith that saves you. So this is a little confusing. But the thing faith itself, in and of itself, is what saves you. But faith has to be activated. Okay? When you got saved, you had to confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Amen? And your faith, you accepted by faith and confessed with your mouth. Confession is a type of works. And I'll probably repeat this 70 times, but in this book of James, the second chapter, if you read through it, when we get done with this study that I'm talking about, the third chapter begins to talk about the tongue. The tongue is like the rudder of a ship, blah, 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 all that stuff. There's a reason that comes after chapter 2. Because one of the things that is connected to your faith and activating it is you activate your faith with your mouth, but you also activate your faith with actions by doing something. There's many different ways of doing something. You do some talking and you do some lifting. You do some working. You do this, you do that. Amen. A good example of this for me was when I was in Bible school. I'm learning about faith all day. I've got my faith built up pretty good. But I've got 103 fever and almost no money whatsoever. And Jessica's about 4 months old. And me and her mother are as dumb as anybody you've ever met. Just, you know what I mean, young and dumb, you know, and not getting along. All that stuff. We've all seen it. We've all been through it. Some of you are too young to have been through it yet. We're praying for you. My faith, because I have faith, my faith produced an action. And this thought comes in my head. Actually, it was the Lord speaking to me. He said, if you believe me, you will go to work. And you will just believe God, believe me. Speak, command the healing, look at the scriptures, say some healing scriptures, look at some healing scriptures, go to work. 103 fever. I'm like dizzy. I don't know what it was. It was kind of strange. I wasn't nauseous or anything, but fire hot, feeling weird and super weak, all sweaty. I don't know what it was. But I went to work, and I knew I had heard God, and I got better all night. Now, it wasn't fun in the beginning, and you're going to have to realize that using your faith, you can't be a wimp. God will require of you to do something you don't feel like doing. Most of the time, we don't feel like saying what we want when we feel like puking. We just say, I feel like puking. Or we tell our partner or somebody in the house how bad we feel so they can do everything and we can lay down. Sometimes we accept sickness so we can lay on our butt in the bed. Tell the truth now. Just be truthful, honest with yourself. You've done it before, some of you. Hopefully not all of you. I have seen it with my eyes. Sometimes we accept crazy things that we don't have to accept because we just want to lay down and not deal with life for a while. And then when you get so sick you can barely think or breathe, you start second-guessing that decision. And that's what happens a lot. But praise God. Faith, now the thing that I have to remind you of is Galatians 5:6 says, faith worketh by love. And that is very important. And that is a key. And a lot of this doesn't matter if you can't have your heart right toward people. Your faith will get short-circuited through unforgiveness, bitterness, anger toward somebody. You don't have to feel like you forgave them. Just have enough faith to say, I forgave them, God. I released them, God. And under your breath, you're going, He doesn't require of you to feel good about them. He requires you to open your mouth by faith. That is called an action. And by faith, say, I forgive them. Amen. So faith worketh by love, don't ever forget that. But faith must be activated. John Calvin said, faith alone saves, but real faith is never alone. Amen? And the reason he says faith alone saves, I actually almost disagree with that. But what he means is it is the faith that saves you. But faith without works is dead, the Bible says. Amen. We're going to look at that in a minute. You could say, there's a scripture in James that says, be warmed and fed. And we used to joke about this scripture. It's in James. Be warmed and fed, but if you don't give them anything to eat or clothes to put on, what good is that? What did you do? Physical needs cannot be met with words. Physical needs cannot always be met. Words can go a long way, but physical needs cannot always be met with words, which is words. There is doing involved, amen, is the point. But that scripture, be warmed and fed, we used to joke in Bible school about it because we were all extremely needy. Barely paying our tuition for school, barely feeding our kids and ourselves, you know, borrowing money from each other back and forth. Everybody in the whole school owed each other money. And sometimes you would ask for money, and the joke was, be warmed and fed. And everybody laughed about it. It's because it sounds Christian. But it takes more than words to meet needs. So, and realize when I'm talking about works, we're not talking about serve day. Some of you are thinking, works, I'll go work at the soup kitchen. I'll go to the kids' place at the nursery and paint. All the stuff we did at serve day this last week. That's not the kind of, those are works, and those are good works. And those good works should come out of your heart because you love God, you love Jesus, you love people. And not because you want to get it on Facebook. I went to serve day. The Lord says, you have your reward. You stick that on Facebook with a wrong motive. Some people put it on Facebook because they just want to spur other people on to good works. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you can't do that. I'm saying check your heart. Amen? Check your heart. If it's on Facebook because you want somebody to say, wow, man, you're awesome, dude. Dudette. Whatever. That word's as old as me. That's why you heard my daughter laugh like that. But we're not talking about serve day. We're talking about the doing that needs to happen to work your faith. Your faith worketh by love, and faith without works is dead. Amen? And so we're going to understand that a little bit better when we're done here. Saying that I believe won't get it. We're good at that. We know. I don't know if you ever notice, if you witness much, people will constantly say to you, I believe. But they don't believe enough to show up to church. They don't believe enough to read their Bible. They don't believe enough to pray. They don't believe enough to teach it to their kids. They have no idea what believe means. And to a degree, we don't either. Amen? We've got our own issues. We all are lacking somewhere in our understanding of things. These preachers in here, you know, they're listening to me preach, and they can tell by how I talk about things that there are things I don't understand that they do. And thank God, I hope they'll tell me afterwards. You know, I want to know. I want to know more. I want to know if I'm ignorant. I want to know if there was a better way to say it. That's how we should be. Understand you don't know everything. Amen? My kids say, well, my kids, my mom, everybody, you know everything. No, I'm 50 years old. I've seen a lot. Been through a lot, watched a lot. I'm far from knowing everything, but I just, I'm way older than most of you. Amen. Except for Dave over there. And he's, thank God for you guys. You look good, though. You really do. They do for their age. So verse 17, let's look at it. James 2:17. Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead being by itself. So what I was just saying about faith a minute ago, a good analogy is like air. You need air or you will die. Amen? You may be able to hold your breath really long, but sooner or later, not enough air, and you are gone. Amen? But an air is there. It's here. We can't see it, but we need it. It's oxygen. But guess what? If you don't intake a breath, you will die. You must breathe it. Amen? You must and exhale, or you will die. Faith and works is the same. Now be careful. I'm not talking about you have to do works to make your faith work, but your faith should produce works. Your understanding of how good God is, that His Word says that you were healed. When you input that in you, when you download that into your spirit talks to your mind or your mind, will, and emotions, your soulish realm. And you realize, okay, He says that I'm healed. I better say it. Or like I did when I went to work that night. The Spirit of God prompted me and said, If so, you're healed. So if you're healed, what would you do? What would you do if you were healed? I go to work. I can't afford not to go to work. Right now, right then. Amen. So my faith, my understanding of what God wants for me, produced an action. Corresponding actions. Amen. Your faith should produce, your believing should produce corresponding actions. And that could be any one of a thousand things. If you believe in the principles of tithing and giving, your belief in that, your faith in that, and if you don't go in the Word and look at what it says, you'll never receive that faith, and you'll just keep hiding from tithing, and you'll just keep asking God, why can I not get out of this hole? Amen? But your faith in what giving will do, giving and receiving, sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest, your faith in that, your understanding of that, will produce an action. Open that baby up, pull something out. God tells you to give it to the dude over here, put it in the offering, give it to somebody else and tell them to give it to somebody. Whatever. That's an action. And your faith must have action to be alive. And you need faith with your works. For your faith to live. Amen. I wrote something in here. Where is it? Faith without action is incomplete. Amen. So the understanding is it's like the air thing. The air's everywhere. But if you're already dead, it will do you no good. It won't bring you back to life if you're all the way dead. Amen. But if Jesus said to somebody near you, tell them to get up and live and not die. And their action of faith may be like Paul did with that one dude. He reached out and he grabbed him and he pulled him up. Because he saw faith in his eyes. You can see faith. The Bible says that Paul saw faith in a man in the crowd. And it made him do an action, corresponding action. He grabbed him by his hand, told him to get up and walk. And I think it was the guy that was walking and leaping and praising God. That's a really old song. All right, now let's look at Romans 10:10 just for clarity. I've got tabs in here and still can't find my scriptures. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. So with the heart man believes. Believing is a heart thing. Amen? Believing is a heart thing. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So this is extremely key. So we've got to do things. You know, you've got to get that faith in you and let that faith produce the works, not your dead performance. Not, I'm going to help my neighbor and then pray. I'm going to help my neighbor load his car up, and I did my good deed for today, Lord. And then I'll pray, and I know you'll do what I need. We think like that. Our whole mind sometimes is thinking, I'll do this and you do that. No. Your faith should produce the works. You understand faith. You know what the promises are. You have that belief in your heart. And then the Lord will speak to you and say, okay, I want you to do this. Or it'll be obvious what you should do. It'll just be completely obvious. Your spirit is connected to God, and God is a spirit. So he communicates with you through your spirit. And if you exercise your spirit, edify your spirit, grow your spirit, speak in tongues, and your spirit will get stronger, and you will hear God more clearly. And sometimes your spirit will just tell you, because you've got your spirit so chock full of the word, it'll just come up out of your spirit what to do. And it may not even really, to me, that's still God speaking. But it's your spirit, man, the part of you that's connected to God. Other times he just talks to you. And it's almost like you heard him say it, but you didn't. You had a thought that was so awesome that you know it wasn't you. I mean, sometimes he's just so, he can't hide himself. He will give you something and you just know, man, I have never thought like that. That was God. Amen. Proverbs 4:23 says, watch over your heart diligently, for from it flow the issues or the springs of life. Amen? Believing is a heart thing. So what you believe in your heart will give birth or produce a corresponding action. Amen? Faith without action is not true faith. It is mental assent. And the reason this is one of the most dangerous chapters in the Bible is because that mental assent shipwrecks your faith. You're believing for something that you no more need than nothing. Lord, I need a chartreuse gold-plated Cadillac. You can't even pay your rent, but you're asking for a gold-plated Cadillac. I mean, come on. Do you think God... You know, some people do stuff like this. We ask for things, we believe for things that is the last thing we need, man. You know, believe God for the little things. And it's like lifting weights, amen? When you start lifting weights, you can't lie to yourself The bar will fall on your chest and hurt you severely. Amen? You pick it up off the bar, it's going through you, man. If you lie to yourself, somehow you have the sense not to do that because you anticipate pain. Amen? So you start where you are. And you start building. That's how faith is. You start where you are. We're all in a different place. That's why comparing ourselves, those who compare themselves with themselves, they are unwise. Amen? That is 2 Corinthians 10:12. And that's why your buddy says, I'm sick as a dog, but I ain't going to hospital. And they get healed. But you get sick, and you better get yourself to the hospital, because he had a corresponding action in his heart for his faith, his word from God. But you hadn't been putting anything in you. I'm not saying anything about y'all. I'm just using this as an analogy. If you don't have the faith, if you ain't there yet, you better go to the hospital. You better get there. And you better believe them doctors know what they're doing. And you better pray that prayer. The doctors have anointed hands. They know what they're doing. They don't make mistakes. They make correct diagnosis. That's right. Amen. So you see, you can't, you know, we do, this is another one of the dangers. People die from this stuff. We heard somebody else did something believing God, and we try to do it the way they did it. We just try to duplicate what they did. People die that way, man. You better know what the word says about healing. You better know what it says about your finances. And then you believe God from out of your heart. Amen. And then you have the corresponding actions that go with it. So faith without works is like you without air. You know what that means. Hallelujah. What time am I supposed to quit, brother? Now? Yeah. Well, I got where I wanted to get. Did this help anybody? I know we weren't shouting and running around the building, but we are a faith church, and we are supposed to be appropriating the promises of God by our faith, producing corresponding actions, using our faith, believing and receiving, and obeying God. And let's face it, we are not doing it on the level that we want to be doing it. I'm not. And when I heard this message, it went off on the inside of me. You know, this is close to being the ABCs of faith, but it is so important. It is so important. So, don't just listen to this message. Don't just say, wow, that was pretty good. I'm glad I heard that. Read James 2. I'll give you a copy of my notes if you can read that. It looks like a chicken ran across the page with dirt on his feet, but I'll give you the scriptures, whatever. You have to get this for you. You need to be in a place. This is why the church was so messed up in the dark ages, because the priest told you that they had to read it for you. And then they spoke in Latin. And nobody was getting anything, and everybody was dying, and the word wasn't working for anybody, and the priests were just getting your money. Amen? We're doing it right now. You're supposed to take this. You're supposed to go look at this. You're supposed to spend some time with it. Become knowledgeable about it. Does anybody recognize this sermon? Because the guy preached it within the last 2 days. Oh, hey, none of y'all been watching TBN lately. Oh, you do recognize? No. I ain't going to tell you who it was because I told somebody who it was today and they said something horrible about the guy that was a total lie. And I thought, you know, I ain't telling nobody where I get this stuff from. And they won't listen to me. They can't even listen to what the Bible says. The Bible's true. Everything I gave you tonight, the Bible says it. I taught this out of the Bible. And that brother who I got it from was anointed. But I'll leave it at that. You can come up to me and ask me later. But please, get this word in your heart. Read James 2 more than once. You know, follow your references from James 2 into everything about faith and understand your faith. Read Mark 11, 22 through 25. Understand faith. Because if you don't get that understanding, you will eventually say it's God's fault, get mad, and not come back here and go live in your miserableness and never have any change in your life. Amen? Praise God. Thank you for coming. I'm going to give it to Pastor D. He's going to take up the offering and just be good looking.